Well, hi there, BillWhittle.com members. I am Bill Whittle here with Steve Green and Scott Ott, and this is your members only Right Angle, brought to you by the courtesy, generosity, and foresight of astonishingly good people like yourselves. That'll do it for this edition of our members only Right Angle. Today I'd like to talk about something that I think is certainly endemic enough to identify as an actual trait, and that is the tendency of progressives to deify politicians. I've maintained, and many of us feel that the reason that the progressives keep getting so much done is because, like, you know, rust never sleeps and the grass keeps growing. For the left, politics is not just an occupation; it's a religion, it's family, it's a hobby, it's everything. It's their be all and end all. And we often see this in the deification of political candidates. Now, obviously, Barack Obama's ascension of the light worker was a pretty recent example, but it goes way before that. Before I had this particular job, I was an editor for a movie talk show called Sunday Morning Shootout, and I believe it was Emilio Estevez who was on, and he'd done a movie about Bobby Kennedy, and basically sat there tearfully and said that when Bobby died, it was essentially the end of the country, because Bobby would have gotten us out of Vietnam, and Bobby would have ended the poverty cycle, and Bobby would have defeated the war on drugs, and Bobby would have done this, and Bobby would have done that, and Bobby would have done this, and so on. And it's a little embarrassing. So we have two examples to continue this trend. The party of women of color, of non-binary gender, and all of the other roles and ethnic groups and religious groups and sexual orientation groups they like to divide the country into seem to be modern Democrats, and I'm talking about this month as we look at the outbreaking potential Democratic candidates. The Democratic Party really seems to be the party of boy band fangirls. That's really what they seem to be. We've got two cute guys, really, really, really hunky, adorable guys with kind of bushy haircuts, and I bet I just want to know what they eat for breakfast. And these two guys, of course, are Beto O'Rourke. And now also the new rising, kind of the Bobby Sherman to Beto O'Rourke's David Cassidy. Is Mayor Pete. Mayor Pete from
South Bend, Indiana.
Thank you very much. And whose last name is
– unpronounceable.
It's Buttigieg.
It's pronounced Beetlejuice.
I think it's – why am I bringing all of this nonsense up? Well, I'm bringing it up because the leaning, rising, and certainly the excitement for the Democrats surrounds two people of essentially zero capabilities who happen to look like they, you know, were once a member of Menudo. Steve, there's something quite disturbing about this. I get the feeling that if you were to take the picture of what the Democrats wanted, you would have a computer combination of Beto O'Rourke's face plus Mayor Pete's face, and then you would enlarge the eyes by 50%.
You know? Anime.
And then you would have the Democratic candidate who would solve all our problems. Am I overreacting to this fetishism of illusion?
You know, I think – no, not at all. I think it's fair to ask of our friends on the left, after failure around the world of their socialist progressive ideals, shouldn't we be asking, where's your God now? we should absolutely be asking that 24/7. You know, during your setup, you reminded me of a little bit of presidential trivia that I just stumbled across probably in the last 5-6 months that I thought was fascinating. When Roosevelt died, radio stations would only play classical or Duke Ellington instrumentals on the day FDR died. That was it. And Duke Ellington is, as far as I'm concerned, American classical music. And I guess the idea was that on the day your God dies, you're not allowed to have any fun because your God has died. And just that's a really telling little detail, I thought, and it goes to the heart of what you were saying. You know, politicians, especially people who work campaigns, particularly at the federal level tend to be just the most cynical, awful people in the world. And it was Obama's own campaign people in 2008 who referred to him, and they let this leak out. They referred to their own candidate as Black Jesus. They knew exactly what he had, what they were doing, and what these starry-eyed, worshiping adorers saw in Black Jesus. I was shaken in 2008 looking at the photos. You know, you get the photo of Obama at the podium, you know, doing his Mussolini pose, looking off into the magnificent progressive future, and then they'd show the other photo of the people in the front row and in the mosh pit, maybe you'd call it, holding on to the railing and looking up as
Beatles fans or Bobby Soxers or watching NSYNC or something.
Yes, yeah. Or Jesus on the cross, for all I know. Just it made me feel sick inside. Not because people believed or trusted in a politician. People get duped all the time. But because of the level of it, the religious fervor of it. And you just don't see that very much on the right, if ever. You know, one of my favorite conservatives started off as a pretty hardcore left-winger, and that was a sci-fi author, Robert Heinlein. And he said, "All gods have feet of clay." And that has never been more true than with our friends on the left.
Scott, you know, it's easy to mock this, and we do for a living. But there's something actually really disturbing here. I mean, genuinely something to worry about. And I think it really comes down to something very simple. It's certainly not unique to the Democratic Party, but we've seen it in places where horrible things happen. Stalin was a living god, and the Kim is a living god, and Hitler was a living god, and all of these living gods, and this deification of politicians. And the thing that's dangerous from my perspective, and I'd love to get your perspective on this, is that when you assume that a human being has godlike powers, you are not only going to be in for a disappointment, you are going to create the conditions inside that person's mind that are going to lead them to make godlike decisions that have not turned out particularly well for humanity throughout the course of time. In other words, if you remove the belief that there is something greater than this political person, then you have essentially cut the leash on that political person to do whatever that political person wants to do. Wow. And this has not turned out terribly well.
It is striking when you look at the candidates that rise up. I mean, if you look at the last election cycle, what was there? 17 potential Republican candidates for the presidential nomination. And as you run your mind over that list, I don't think there was a charismatic person in the bunch.
Trump is very charismatic.
There was one, and he's president.
No. But he doesn't have that kind of charisma, okay? He's got a different kind of charisma.
TV charisma,
Yeah, so there's not really that kind of, although he was the TV star. So they did wind up with the TV star in any case. I think there are a couple things going on here. Number one, even though, yes, politics has become a way of life and a religion to people on the left, fundamentally, they don't like politics. They are the people who are immersed in culture. They like the idea of a cultural icon more than a political hero. And there's a political aspect to this, but fundamentally, they're looking for the pretty boy. They're looking for somebody who looks great. You remember John Edwards ran for president. What was his
perfect
main qualification?
Perfect example.
Man, did he look nice.
Great hair.
Really good haircut. That's right. And so,
he diddled the staff like a Kennedy.
Yeah. And so they've got this. They want somebody that they can look up to and say, that's the kind of guy that should be leading this country. And how do we know that? Because he looks like it. You know, if Mitt Romney had been a Democrat, he would have won. Because he looks
like the president.
He looks like the president. That's right. Central casting would have said yes, and he would have been in there. So then the other aspect of that is, and I was making notes while you were talking here, not only does the, you know, sort of culture Trump politics there, but because the left wants a powerful government You need a god to be able to exercise those kinds of powers. Republicans, on the other hand, want a weak government. And because of that, we're not looking for a god to run this thing. We'll take a functionary. We'll take somebody okay. who can, you know, organize
can
paper clips.
Can you run the Wendy's at a profit? That's, can you keep the fry right. station manned? Good enough.
There you go.
So if the person happens to have a little charisma or personality, well, that's so much the better. But really, I don't need that. I just want, you know, in the expression of an old biographer that I read about, I forget who he was talking about, Garfield or Arthur or Cleveland, maybe Grover Cleveland. We want a guy whose legs are under his desk, whose breath is not in anybody's face, and whose hand is not on anybody's lapel. You know, we want him to just do the job, clock out, go home, and go away when you're done. So because of that, we're not really looking for a godlike character. And this was all presaged, seen in advance by the framers of our Constitution, whose main fear was that a charismatic character would rise up and sweep masses of people behind him and be thrust into office if you had a purely democratic form of government where only the majority mattered. And so they built this really complicated system that's kind of at war with itself, this constitutional republic designed to cut the legs out from under any kind of charismatic character like that, which is why you always see the left pushing for things like the abolishment of the Electoral College.
Absolutely
and,
right.
You know, popular election of senators was a move from the progressive left, you know. So all of that is why the left needs a god. We don't. We already have a god. You know, it's like that's that line from the Avengers movie where Captain America says, "You know, I know God. I'm pretty sure he doesn't look like that." So, and we need to have empathy for our friends on the left because they're looking for God in all the wrong places. And our job should be really to kind of guide them to the one true God and to keep them out of Capitol Hill and the White House.
Please.
I find it so interesting that a party that has such general, I'm speaking generalities, always we speak in generalities yes. because this is how we get to the general conclusion. But a party that has such contempt for religion manages to elevate to religious status people who have significantly lower moral standards than Jesus Christ, let's say, and then they're perfectly okay with this. This isn't funny. This is deeply alarming, and it goes very deep into the human condition, very deep into the human condition. I'm certainly not trying to make a biblical case here, but I think of all of the stories in the Bible, the one that most expresses human nature to me is actually from the Old Testament, where you have an entire race of people that have been led out of slavery. Frogs in blood have turned to the rivers. Frogs have rained from the skies. The angel of death has swooped over the country, sparing those people who put blood over the lintel, killed the firstborn of everybody in Egypt. Chariots follow them. The Red Sea is parted, a pillar of smoke by day, a pillar of fire by night, food falling from the heavens for 40 years. And as soon as the person responsible for this goes up to take a little walk, an hour later, we come back and find that they're worshiping a golden calf because they need something that they can touch. They need something that they can touch. And if the food falling from the sky and the parting of the Red Sea is not enough for you, then that is human nature. And this is what our system of government is designed to protect against. It's designed to protect against the golden calf mentality of people who are daily experiencing miracles and who for whom that is not good enough. It's no wonder that the Democrats want the vote to go to 16-year-olds. If the Democrats could have their way, the voting of this country would be done by nothing but 14-year-old girls. That would be the entire limitation for voting in this country. You're allowed to vote between the ages of your 14th year if you're a female. And then it would just be a question of whose best hair you could put out there. And I'd love to say that this is a parody, but it's not. This is what we're getting. We're getting entire half of the country pinning their hopes on the Dennis Kucinich of the 21st century, and I'm not impressed. By Mayor Pete. I'm not impressed by Dennis Kucinich. I'm not impressed by what Governor Moonbeam did, and I'm not impressed by any of this stuff. I am impressed by John Kennedy, who had youthful vigor and brought a lot of energy to the country. But John Kennedy wasn't a god. John Kennedy had very serious personal flaws. He had a lot of flaws in his administration. I did admire his charisma. I did admire his energy, and by any account, he'd be a conservative today. But this is a trap, and the reason we haven't fallen into this trap yet is because of the constraints built into this by adults. And as the children continue to chip away at these constraints, like the idea of having the state's votes go to whoever gets the most popular vote, the destruction of the Electoral College, all of it, is an adolescent, infantile, ungrateful, childish, dangerous, and very, very disturbing practice. We all admire Ronald Reagan, but we admired Ronald Reagan because Ronald Reagan said, "I am going to Washington to make Washington less powerful than it is now." That is a noble sentiment. I'd like to see more of it.
Yeah.
By all means, please run Beto O'Rourke, the Warren Report of Politicians, and we will be seeing Melania serving her second term and then followed by Ivanka and her whatever, you get the idea. Anyway, I don't know how to wrap this thing up. I'm just sick and tired and I'm disgusted, so I'm just going to put an end to it right here, put you all out of your misery. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week right here on your very own Members' Right Angle.